You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Charlie Zimmerman. The economy is a top concern for voters this election season, and there's been a lot of focus on it at the Democratic National Convention. Jeffrey Riley spoke with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, the chair of the Senate Finance Committee.
Senator Ron Wyden, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me again. Always like being with you.
Well, President Biden has said several times that billionaires in America only pay an effective tax rate of roughly 8%. There's some dispute about that number. And at the Finance Committee, I presume you have access to lots of figures. Is that one close?
Well, let me kind of state it this way. There are hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes that go uncollected or simply don't come into the Treasury each year. And the reality is there are a whole host of approaches that unfortunately are legal under current law. For example, there are three words that allow very wealthy people to pay little or nothing for years on end. They're buy, borrow, and die. And if you do that, you can figure out how to pay little or nothing for years on end. So the scandal is really what is legal. And I feel very strongly that we want people in our country to be successful. That's an important part of the American dream, and it's not inconsistent with some tax fairness, and that's what I'm working for.
Well, you know, that does get into a place of politics fairly often when you start talking about wanting to have, and on one hand, people who make a lot of money pay their fair share, as the expression goes on that side, versus the often said soak the rich on the other side. I mean, is there a place to find a balance in there?
Well, that's what I believe I've described. Look, you know, a firefighter or a teacher or a nurse pays taxes with every single paycheck. It's right there on their pay stub. And the reality is, if you've got a really skilled group of accountants and tax lawyers and the like, you can figure out, as I say, if you use those three words, to pay little or nothing. You can go out, for example, and buy 6-7 houses. You know, live in one or two. Then you borrow against your holdings for a really good, you know, lifestyle. And then you can basically do that throughout your life until you die. And then the gains get recalculated and the next generation can pick up on it. So what I want is I want to be able to show that I feel very strongly that success is a key part of what we want to communicate about as elected officials, and it's an important part of the American dream. And I just don't think it's incompatible with, as I say, something that ensures that, you know, there's a measure of fairness. If teachers, firefighters, and nurses pay taxes every paycheck, we can find a way that ensures that that people out there who are at the very, very top also are going to pay their fair share.
All right, so when you say fair share, you or any Democrat, when you talk about the wealthiest paying their fair share, is there a number in mind, a percent, a basic line of fairness you think could be reached?
Let's put it this way. I describe buy, borrow, and die. If you, for example, had the largest accounts in the country, the biggest ones, and they were paying taxes at normal rates, we could raise hundreds of billions of dollars over 10 years, and that would give us a chance to shore up Social Security, shore up important accounts.
We are talking to Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, a Democrat, and also the chair of the Senate Finance Committee here on the Jefferson Exchange. You talked to us during the convention in Chicago. The billionaire's income tax, Senate Bill 3367, this concept has been around for a while now, at least two Congresses. What is the basic design in that bill?
Well, as I say, you know, we believe that right at the heart of this is that when you think about taxes, which go for all the things that we value as Oregonians, you know, it goes for education, it goes for health care, it goes for transportation, all of these priority values as Oregonians, we want to be in it together. I think that's kind of representative of my thinking, and I think we're going to have a chance to do that. I think that people have seen that there are provisions in the tax code that already move in the direction of the philosophy I'm talking about, and I think people understand, and the Vice President is talking about some important areas like housing, for example. I have very important housing bill. Housing is probably the most significant issue in the state of Oregon. I'm having more town hall meetings this weekend. And, you know, in every part of the state, we're concerned about housing. Some of those important initiatives, like help for the first-time home buyer, that's part of the VPU's agenda. It's going to take some resources, and that's the kind of thing that I, as the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, that's my job to locate them and make sure that it's done in a fair and cost-effective way.
When you say we have a chance to do that, do you mean in the current Congress? I mean, can anything actually get done before the afterward?
No, major legislation. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see that, you know, happening in the remainder of the Congress. But you look, for example, at the bill that I brought to the floor of the United States Senate here a few weeks ago. It was a really important bill. It was bipartisan. It ensured that, you know, we pay for priorities like helping 16 million kids and pay for the research and development tax credit and low-income housing. It was paid for by making sure that new claims in the employee retention tax break would be not so tainted by fraud, which is what the Internal Revenue Service had expressed their concern about. And we got a huge vote in the House of Representatives, and then it came to the United States Senate, and J.D. Vance wouldn't show up for work. He wouldn't show up for work and help us get Republican votes. And we're going to always try and be bipartisan about these issues. But got a pretty good example just a few weeks old of something that would have done so much good for Oregonians. Could have been one of the more important bills that I've written as an Oregon legislator. And, you know, if you don't show up for work, which is what J.D. Vance decided to do when it came to the child tax credit, which he makes all these pronouncements about how he cares so much about it, when it comes time to actually delivering, it's, you know, all talk.
Let's come back to the Billionaires Income Tax Act. Senator Elizabeth Warren is a co-sponsor of this and is on the Finance Committee with you. Is this basically her proposal for a wealth tax?
Well, this is a different approach than many of the others. The question of an income tax is something that I really compare to the nurse and the teacher and the firefighter. There are other, you know, approaches that, you know, look to dealing with wealth, which is different than income. So this is a unique approach. It really comes from a USC law professor, Mr. McCaffrey, who has talked about this for a number of years. And the best analogy is, we understand an income tax. It's based on the proposition that we pay, and elected officials get a salary as well. And you pay, you know, every year in order to pay for the priorities that are important for Oregonians and our country. And I'd like to see that kind of philosophy be brought to this issue as well.
All right. So when we talk about the kinds of things you'd like to see happen with getting the wealthy to pay their fair share, as the phrase goes, does this require further staffing up at the Internal Revenue Service?
We believe that it is a relatively small number, you know, of people. There have been estimates of, you know, 1,000 or less that would be affected by what we're doing. But the point is, when you're legislating, you try to work with your colleagues to find common ground. That's what I'll be doing. I believe that we're going to keep the United States Senate. We can build on some of the work that we've been doing now for several years. And I think that the tax debate has changed. There haven't been very many bills like mine, which basically have attracted a lot of sponsors and say, look, we want to ensure that people who work hard in our country and are successful are rewarded. We also want to ensure that we bring a good dose of fairness to it. I think that's why our approach has generated so much support.
Now, even without opposition to the Billionaires Income Tax Act, and there's plenty, I mean, you have the additional situation in which some members of Congress staunchly oppose any moves to beef up the enforcement staff at IRS. In fact, often are calling for reductions. I mean, that itself is an ongoing battle, isn't it?
Sure is. And, you know, you just look at the fact that thousands of millionaires didn't even file a tax return. And the IRS has to have the resources to go pick up on that. And I think, again, this speaks to the kind of values that I'm talking about. Isn't that something we should all agree on as Americans? That you've got to file your tax return because that's what's expected of you as a citizen. And, you know, thousands of millionaires didn't even file a tax return. And we've collected, you know, vast sums because I and my colleagues, Democrats, have said the IRS ought to have the resources to do the follow-up and ensure that people, And that doesn't seem to be, again, a great punitive kind of request. They ought to file their tax returns and pay what they owe.
Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, also the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, and we're talking about taxes, potentially more taxes on people who make a lot of money. And so, Senator, let's talk about the big picture. You could certainly propose legislation to get people who make tons of money pay more taxes on it, but that can also potentially trigger big spending by some of those people to defeat the legislation and or the people in Congress who support it. Is there any element of, gee, maybe we should not poke the bear?
Well, again, I come back to what I've just spent 2 years on. I know that there's opposition. There can be political opposition. There can be special interest group, you know, opposition. But I continue to believe that, and I'll be doing this again this weekend at town hall meetings around Oregon. When you lay out, for example, you know, put it in the context of folks in Southern Oregon. If you're a firefighter in Southern Oregon, or a nurse, or a teacher. You know, you're working hard. You're paying by the rule, playing by the rules. You're paying taxes with every single paycheck. People come to my town hall meetings in Southern Oregon, and they say, Ron, how can it be that when we pay taxes every month, people who have accountants and lawyers can figure out how to pay little or nothing for years on end? And I think that's what is going to help us move this issue. And certainly whenever they take polls and the like, the American people really respond favorably, and I think it's because we're articulating something that is very straightforward as a concept. Writing tax law is a challenge, but I think we've done it, and that's why we have so many sponsors.
Senator, you mentioned Vice President Harris and housing, and I want to ask you about some recent moves, including the Preventing Algorithmic Facilitation of Rental Housing Cartels bill. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, I mean, basically you're having price setting by algorithm, and it's being used to hurt renters. We have a tremendous number of them in Oregon, and it speaks to the changes in our society as a result of technology. Normally, we all remember price setting as, you know, a bunch of people. You see the pictures, burly people, invariably men, going to steakhouses, having drinks, and they set prices. You know, they collude, and they set prices. Now you can price set by algorithm, and the Federal Trade Commission's been looking at it. We've gotten a lot of interest and a lot of support for it, and I was very pleased that the Vice President referenced our bill specifically as something that she was for.
Now, in the coming election, inflation and prices appear to be the number one issue for many voters. I mean, is Congress in a position to do anything? Is it better if Congress doesn't
sure.
do anything with the Fed?
Let me tell you what I'm doing right now. You know, I've been leading the opposition to the Kroger-Albertsons you know, merger. This would be, and I give this so your listeners know this, this would be the biggest grocery store merger in the history of the country. So when people are concerned about price of a gallon of milk and, you know, pound of meat and all the rest, I think we ought to be thinking through what this really means. And also, in Southern Oregon, we've been losing pharmacies. This is going to make it harder for people to afford their medicine, get access to their medicine. And, you know, we're going to have the hearing in Portland on Monday. And I and Congresswoman John Paul are leading the opposition with a amicus brief that we filed.
I'm sorry, yeah, because what would happen if that merger does go through is you'll have Fred Meyer, Albertsons, Safeway, and several other brands in California all under one ownership.
You got it. And, you know, what I've said is, and this is in our brief, that minimum we ought to take the approach that we're advocating. We ought to get an injunction so that they can bring all the parties together and come up with something that that if it treats you know, consumers fairly, makes sense. And it speaks again to the approach the Vice President is taking. You know, people say, well, you know, is this price controls that people are talking about? I said, it certainly, you know, isn't. I support markets. I believe in free markets. This is an approach that is being discussed to say we'll have some guardrails if the markets aren't working very well. Markets aren't working very well. There ought to be some guardrails to protect the consumers. That's, in effect, what I'm doing in terms of my amicus brief to the court with Congresswoman Jayapal. And I think we'll see on Monday how the proceeding unfurls.
Senator Wyden, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll do it again.